Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. We welcome everyone who is in our listening audience this morning. We welcome you as you've tuned into this station. We pray that as we go through this lesson from the Bible today, from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, I pray that it will be a blessing to everyone who is participating along with us. I hope that you will follow along in your Bible or your electronic device, whatever you prefer today. And as we begin here today, would you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide us with your Spirit as we open your word this morning, that we could hear Jesus speaking to us. Guide us with your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, years ago, and just before the year 2000 came in, all you could hear about was a Y2K. Everybody was afraid that the electrical grids were going to shut down, the computers wouldn't work, and everybody was all excited about everything. They were putting their little stash of food and water away somewhere. And the one thing that we didn't need at that time was for everybody to run to their own little private bunker and hide out somewhere, hoping that things would be okay. Well, I believe that what people were fearing, what they thought was going to be the worst, it never turned out that way. And isn't that true in life? That most of the time, 90% of the things that we fret about, that we worry about, that we stress out over, they never come to pass anyway. And so we spend all of that time worrying about things that never really happen. And oftentimes, this separates us from other people because those worries cause us to kind of go into our own private little bunker and just worry ourselves to death over that. You know, I think the better thing for us to do, the real need is for us not to hide in our little private bunkers and worry the day away. The real thing for us to do is to hide in Jesus Christ. What do you say about that? I think that's the important thing, is for us to invest ourselves first in seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness, and He will make all of these other things happen. He will provide for us. He will give us His righteousness and His grace to help us through the difficult times of life, and we need that every day. I believe that Jesus Christ is able, don't you? I believe that He can help us through the most difficult situations of life, and today we face some very challenging times. This world's coming to an end, and it seemed like as the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn from the world, more and more evil is rising up all around the world, and it happens very close to home sometimes, even today. And I believe that as the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn, it's not being withdrawn from God's people, because Jesus promised that He would never leave nor forsake us, and that His Spirit would be with us until the end of the age or the end of the world. I believe that the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn from those people who have not accepted Jesus Christ and who have hardened their heart to the appeals of the gospel, and they are creating more and more evil in this world as a result of that. But we can be encouraged that in these last days, as time gets tough and challenging, friends, the Holy Spirit will be with God's people until they see Jesus coming in the clouds of glory. Can you say amen to that? He will never leave us alone by ourselves. You wonder why we sang a Christmas song today? Well, we're in the Christmas holiday season. And I think it's time for us to start being thankful about what God has given to us every day through Jesus Christ. It's time for us to remember what God gave to this world in His Son, Jesus Christ, who was born as a babe in Bethlehem. We're coming on that time of the world when many people are forgetting. Their minds and hearts are going everywhere else except for on Jesus. And now is when we need Him the most. And when times are the toughest, friends, that's when Jesus is the closest. I want you to remember that. When your life gets so challenging, so hard and difficult, so many trials in your life, remember this, that it is when it is so difficult that you don't think you can go in on any further. It is when Jesus is the closest to you. We want reformation and revival in our churches, in our lives. Well, you know, we can have revival, but if we don't have reformation that comes along with that, that's just nothing but excitement. We get all excited about some meeting we go to, some word that we heard from somebody. We get excited about something. That's revival. But if we don't have reformation that brings about a change of life in our relationship with Jesus Christ, it is nothing but emotionalism, excitement. We need both revival and reformation. And we need to be praying that God will bring that into the life of every individual who trusts in the Jesus Christ that we love. And as we do that, it will make a difference in our homes, in our churches, in our society. And I think more and more people need to be praying and thinking about what can God do in my life to bring revival and reformation that will reflect the true nature and character of Jesus Christ in the world. You know, the scriptures tell us, and I think as I listened to Doug Batchelor last night talking about the foundations of faith, I heard him say a lot of really nice, significant things. The one thing that I heard him say that really caught my attention was this, that when you have a desire for food that's not good, you lose your desire for good food. Isn't that true? I mean, you snacking on potato chips and candy bars and all the other ice creams and stuff, you know, you kind of lose your taste for something wholesome and good. And it's the same thing. If we're snacking and eating on all of the delicacies of this world that are not good for us, we kind of lose our taste for all of those spiritual things that are really nourishing and good for us as God's people. And I would challenge you to be able to start studying God's word for yourself, because that's where true reformation and revival will begin, is you knowing what God's will is for your life. The only way that you can understand the will of God for your life is to listen to Jesus speaking to you through his word. And you need to be doing that, feeding on the word of God, so that you don't have a desire for those less nourishing things that this world offers to us. The scriptures tell us that people's hearts are going to be failing them for fear of what's coming upon them in this world. Look with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 21 at verse number 26. In Luke chapter 21 and verse number 26. In Luke 21, at verse number 26, it says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." The time is coming, friends, when the powers of heaven will be shaken. In fact, this whole earth seems to be rocking and rolling with all of the disasters that are happening around the world, one after another, trying to get the attention of people who live in this world and let them know that Jesus Christ is soon to return. And no matter what the scoffers say, no matter what people who call themselves atheists, no matter what those people who do not believe in the return of Jesus Christ have to say, we as God's people know that all of these things are pointing forward to the time when Jesus Christ will come. They're to alert us to the dangers that are around us, but to the good time that Jesus is coming. I like what Joy read today for our offering. Why would you take bricks in a bag to heaven and hope to get there when you're just taking something that the streets of gold are already paved with? What would be the point? You're taking worthless money to heaven. Everything that you and I need for heaven, friends, God gave to us in his son, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? All the riches of heaven are ours, and there's nothing that we can add to that to make it better. God has prepared it all for every one of us. You know, the most important thing that we could do as we face this new year that's coming up, 2018, is to develop and nurture a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing that you can do for yourself personally. It's the best thing that you can do for your family. It's what's needed in our church. It's what society is dying to hear. It's something about Jesus that would give them hope and encouragement. And it has to start with us individually, because if we don't have something in our own heart and we're empty inside spiritually, how can we ever have anything significant to share with the world around us? I believe that we have to have this kind of relationship. In fact, Jesus speaks to the church. If you look with me in Revelation chapter 2, and we're looking here at the first church that Jesus is talking about in the church at Ephesus. Here in Revelation chapter 2, and we see here that Jesus is speaking to this church at Ephesus. And in verses 2 and 3, he says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." You see, Jesus commends them for the good things that they do, but he's really concerned about this one thing that they're not doing. And you look here in verse number 4, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." That's important. You know, it was really good for the church at Ephesus to do all of those good things for Jesus, but it's really concerning for the Lord, for us to get so busy doing the good things that we forget about the good things that God really wants us to be concerned about. The people were spending a lot of time doing all of the right things. But in doing those right things, they got so busy they forgot all about the one they were doing the things for. Isn't that amazing? You could do the same thing. What about those people who spend all of their time doing good things for everybody around them, and yet they never take time for themselves to spend a quiet moment with Jesus, to read His Word, to listen to His Spirit speak to them? They don't have time for prayer, and they don't really share the Word of God with anybody else. You see, if you want your experience with God to grow and flourish and to be intimate and personal with Jesus Christ, friends, you have to study the Word of God. You have to have time set aside so that you can listen to Him speak to you through that Word. You have to be able to pray to Him about what He has done with you and for you, and you need to be able to share what God has given to you with someone else in the world. That's how our spiritual life grows. That's how it flourishes. That's how it becomes intimate with Jesus Christ, as we feast and feed upon His Word and we share that with the world around us. Jesus wants us to spend time with Him. But when the church at Ephesus spent so much time that they didn't have time for Jesus because they were too busy doing the good things that God wants them to do. Now listen, Jesus tells them to repent and do the first works. And I don't know what it is that brought you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you had a Bible study with somebody, some other Christian. Maybe there was some tragedy in your life that made you recognize that you needed something outside of yourself. You needed Jesus to help you through that difficult time. Maybe it was you came to some kind of a revelation seminar. I don't know what it is that brought you to Jesus. But whatever it is, Jesus is encouraging this church at Ephesus to go back and do what you did before to establish that relationship with Him. Whatever it is. Maybe you felt a need for reading the Bible or praying more. I don't know. But whatever it is, friends, you need to go back and do it again. Because Jesus is not saying to the church at Ephesus that these works that you've been involved in are all bad. He commends them for that. But they left out the important ingredient, what those works were all about. They forgot all about Jesus, you see. So Jesus not only wants us to do the good works, but those good works are an outcropping or an outworking of that relationship we have with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So if we try doing the works without the relationship with Jesus, friends, it's meaningless. And we're just doing something like beating at the air. We need to understand that God wants us to do both. I think it's true for me too. I can be so busy about the Lord's work that I don't take time to be with the Lord in prayer and Bible study and sharing that with someone else. I have to be able to talk to other people about Jesus too, not just here in a church service. I can remember this week I had an appointment with a doctor, and before he left the room that I was in, I asked if I could pray with him. And so he said, sure. So I had a prayer for him and his family and his ministry as a doctor that day. And every time I go to see him, I do the same thing. And I think we need to be able to share our faith, to be able to encourage other people who are in the same struggles of life that you and I are, that God is calling for us to encourage other people through the Word, through prayer, lifting them up to Jesus. And I believe that's what God wants all of us to do, that, to be a part of that sharing of this gospel message and the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 10, we see another illustration of this ideal of putting together our works and our faith together to be this balance that God wants us to have. You look here in Luke in chapter 10. In verses 38 through 42, in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, it says, "And now it came to pass as they went, and that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Martha is concerned about doing those things, getting the task done. She's task-oriented, and she wants to make sure that everything is in place. But those kind of things, they don't worry Mary. She has some other priority. She's more interested in spending time with Jesus. In Martha's way of thinking, the way you show that you love someone is that you do things for them. But to Mary, spending time with Jesus shows how much that she really loves him. And Martha, like the church at Ephesus, spent their time doing good things but lost that loving feeling because they didn't spend time with Jesus. It's amazing that we can be too busy for our own good. And we can be so heavenly minded at times that we forget all about doing good. And I think there needs to be this combination of spending time with Jesus and allowing that relationship that we have with him to motivate us and move us to do something good for the people around us. This not only happens to the churches who spend time with Jesus, but Martha and Mary are a good example that it can happen to each one of us individually. That we can be so busy about doing things, getting it all done and accomplished, and have our checklist that we go through, and we forget to spend time with Jesus. I think the top of the list should be our priority with Christ, and that everything after that would fall in line, and we would accomplish all that God wants us to do. You know, husbands and wives, there's something to be learned here. You know, husbands, they're out there, they take out the trash, they mow the grass, they fix the cars, they work at their job. The wives, they clean the house, they work their jobs, they cook the meals, they do the laundry, they take care of the kids. And this proves that you love each other, doesn't it? By doing things for one another. What if that's all you ever did as spouses? Is you just did things. You never talked, you never had any intimate moments, you never spent any time doing things together. You were always apart doing something else to make this checklist go away. You just have a platonic relationship. There's no intimate, loving relationship there. You need to spend time together doing things, spending time listening and talking and just being with each other together. Doing things that make things work out in daily life is not enough. There needs to be an intimate relationship to make that love flourish. And we can do all the right things and not spend time together, and our love for one another can be as dead as a doornail. Are you listening to me? Do you hear what God's saying today? We can get too busy for our own good. And it's time that we start nurturing our relationships with our family and our spouses and with Jesus Christ. And when we have those priorities regulated the way God wants us to, friends, life will be great for us. Doing things doesn't build relationships. Do you understand that? That doesn't build relationships. Well, maybe you didn't get it. So if I come to your house and take out your trash, you're going to love me more? You see, I believe that Jesus wants us to do things for each other. But those things are motivated because we love him. Isn't that true? Now, I can do the dishes and sweep the floor, and I can go out and mow the grass and fix flat tires on the cars or split the wood and carry it in the house and build the fire. But that doesn't have anything to do with my relationship with my wife. Her and I need to spend time together. We need to be able to have some moments to ourselves. And I believe that that's the way it is with our relationship with Jesus. We can be busy doing things in the church and out in society, but if we don't have time for Jesus, friends, and that personal one-on-one relationship with him, that relationship is dead. And this is where Martha, she missed the boat. Doing things does not build a relationship. Husbands and wives need to spend time together. They need to share their affection for one another. There needs to be that time of intimate, close relationship to be able to nurture that relationship properly. And that's the same thing for Jesus. There needs to be time. We need to set time apart in our busy schedules to have time with Jesus, to be able to pray, to study, to be able to share the word with somebody else. I read this story about a man who was in the church, and this young pastor had noticed that this elderly gentleman had not been coming to church. So after a number of Sabbaths when he didn't come anymore, he went to the man's house. And He was invited in by the man, and when they went into his living room, the man had a nice fire burning in the fireplace, and they sat there in front of the fire talking for quite some time. And the gentleman that he was talking to, the pastor asked him why he hadn't been coming to church. He said, well, I don't think I need to go all the time. I mean, I don't need to be at church every Sabbath. I mean, well, that's not that important. I can worship here at home. And so the pastor, being pretty astute, he saw that at the fireplace there was this little thing that you have a scoop shovel and a brush and a poker and all that. You know, you've seen them before, right? They're kind of brass colored. He went over and he grabbed the poker and he pulled the screen apart and he took that poker and he spread out the logs that were burning there. And he just sat down and he looked at the fire for quite some time. And after about 5 minutes, the fire that was burning hot started to go out. And all they could see was some coals glowing in the fireplace. And the pastor said to this man, that's exactly what happens to you when you're not with Jesus or with God's church. You grow cold. And I can believe that there are a lot of people today that believe they don't have to go to church every week. They don't have to always be with God's people. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, as you see the day approaching, that is the approaching of Jesus Christ, that says there to draw together with God's people. Fail not to assemble yourself with God's people. That means on Sabbath, friends, the one place in this world that we need to be, it's in God's house. We need to be there with God's people worshiping the God of this universe. God calls for it, because when we don't, guess what? The embers, they start getting cold and the fire begins to go out. We cannot build a fire with just one log. Man, you can go through a lot of matches trying to light that log. We must have these logs touching each other. They have to share the heat so that they can burn hot. And there is no way that we can ever have a fire with just one log burning all by itself. If husbands and wives are going to have a loving relationship, they need to spend time together, nourishing that relationship, pressing together as husband and wife in a relationship, so that that love relationship will grow hot and strong, and nothing can break that bond that God has created with them. God wants us to be together with Him, and He wants us to spend time with Him. There is no way that we can just do things hoping that that will nurture our relationship with Him or with our spouses or with our families. Just doing things in hopes that it will be appreciated, that is not going to work. It never has. It never will. I want to ask you a question. Why do you think Jesus didn't tell Mary to go help Martha when Martha came and complained to Him? What do you think? I'll tell you why. He didn't want two Marthas. He wanted Mary and Martha to blend together. And He wanted her first priority for Martha was the same as for Mary, that they would spend time with Him. And when they have been filled and nurtured in that relationship, then they would have been able to go and serve and do all the things that they had to get done. Mary was doing what was best. And Jesus wants a close and loving relationship with each one of us. When His people spent time doing things for Him, but spend no time with Him, He feels left out and unloved, unwanted, unneeded. You get the point, right? We need to spend time with Jesus. That's the whole point. And that's what these holiday seasons should remind us of. How good and gracious and great God has been to us. Every good and great gift that has come down to us comes from heaven, from God, to each one of us. This is the time of the year when we should be thankful for all of those blessings that God has bestowed upon every one of us. It's a time when we should be thankful that God sent His dear Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to save us from our own destructive behaviors. This is a time when we should be drawing close to Jesus Christ and close to one another. And I believe that if Jesus could have gotten a message across to Martha and to the church at Ephesus, He would have said, doing those things are good, But the priority must be a relationship with me. And I believe that that's what Jesus is trying to say here in Luke 10. I believe that's what he was trying to tell the church at Ephesus. And listen, friends, if your love relationship with Jesus or people around you is not as strong and as warm and as loving as you want it to be, maybe it's because you haven't been spending time with Jesus the way he wants you to. And I want to encourage you to start putting aside some time where you can spend listening to God speak to you through his word, where you can actually speak to him about your needs and your love for him, and you can start sharing that blessing with people around you, doing those good things that God wants us to do, and sharing this gospel with the world around us. When these logs touch logs, they burn hot. And you can go through a whole lot of matches trying to light one log. But when we get them all piled up the way they're supposed to be, where they got good airflow, we can have a roaring, blazing, hot fire. And I believe that that's what God wants us to press close to him. And in these last days, he wants us as families to press together so the devil cannot divide us. And as a church family, he wants us to press together, press together, press together in these last days, friends. Press to Jesus and press to each other so that we can be strong and fortified to fight this fight to the very end. Remember that people don't change because they see the light. It's because they feel the heat. Amen. Yeah. Pray with me if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would guide us with your Spirit. And that in those times, Lord, when we've been too busy for our own good, too busy to spend time with you or with the people we're supposed to be loving and nurturing, I pray you'd forgive us for that and you would cleanse us from that selfishness and self-centeredness. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us managerial skills to be able to put aside time so that we can spend with you in your word, and that your Holy Spirit would lead us in a study to you, and that we could understand your will for our life. Bless us, Father, as we nurture our relationship with you and as we nurture our relationship with those that we love. I pray you'd bless our family here at the church, and that you'd bring true reformation and revival into each of our lives so that we could be the blessing of sharing the gospel with the world around us. We pray this, we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.